Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter number 43. Genesis, chapter number 43 this evening. Just to let you know, my phone is back in service. I got it back this afternoon, so not my original phone, but we'll take it. Had to do a little conniving to the people that are working for Verizon, and they graciously gave me a new phone with a cost to that. Love that. I asked him a question while I was there. I said, I noticed my phone bill has gone up. Has anybody noticed a change in their phone bill? Mine went up $10 more than what it normally is. And I'm saying, what's going on? Can you please explain these? I said, nothing's changed. And I said, inflation. I said, are you serious? You're going to nail me with inflation? So, yeah, that's what they did. So, but that's where we're at in our society. Inflation, that's the blame for everything. Well, let's go ahead and read here, verses 29 down to 34, Genesis chapter number 43. It says here, and he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. And they set on him, and they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his youth, and the men marveled one another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry with him. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, it is a joy to be back here again tonight. Thank you for this privilege once again. I pray that you would continue to use me to speak your word. Be with the people that are here this evening. I pray, Lord, that everything that is said, we can apply it to our life. And as we leave here tonight, we can say that we're better equipped to go out into this world and take things on throughout the week. We thank you for our visitors that you've allowed to come here tonight. What a joy it is to see them. And God, I pray that we can be a blessing to them before they even leave here this evening. We ask you these things in your name. Amen. The last several weeks, we have gone through the word speedy. So far, we have covered the letter S, which stood for support. We covered the word P, which stood for participate. I'm going to let you in on this one. We studied the word E, which stood for evangelize. I know it's a hard question because there's two E's. We did another study on the word E, the letter E, and what was that word? The word exercise, correct. And then we studied the word, the letter last week, which dealt with D, and that stood for direction, exactly. So we've covered these things so far. Tonight we're going to end this series with the letter Y. But before we get started, let me remind you of why we have studied this word out to its fullness here. When it comes to support, we as a church are to support the church, and not just to support the church, but we are to support each other. Amen? We need that in life. Well, how can we support the church? I'm going to give you some examples. When the church has the activities that we have, for example, soul winning that we did yesterday, I was asked to change the word from visitation because they thought they were going to the cemetery, so I would agree with them on those things. So as the soul winning was given to us yesterday, the best way that we can support soul winning is by what? Being a participant in it, which we'll get to that here in a little bit. But if we can't participate by going, what else can we do by showing our support? It's through prayer, exactly. God has given us that avenue as a church to be able to give our needs to Him, our petitions, and to be able to lift folks up when it is needed. So we can support the church in that area. Now, there are some other areas that we can support each other, and that is through people go through some difficult times in life, and what can we do for them? Well, we can pray again, but we can also be an encouragement to one another. It's not fun coming to church and being discouraged by a fellow member. It's not fun. But it is fun when you can come to church and you're feeling the encouragement from other believers. I appreciate those things. And you guys do such a great job at that. So we looked at the word support, supporting church, supporting each other. Then we looked at the word participate. And as it was mentioned, when the church has functions, we should be supporting the function or the activity. Yesterday, Jeff had a bright idea to take the kids down to Worlds of Fun. And I remember doing those things. But here's the best way that you can have fun in those areas, by participating. And it just didn't stop with the teenagers. We had some young adults that went as well, and they had a great time. And you heard him say it was probably one of the best activities in Worlds of Fun that he's ever experienced. And I'm thankful for that. So when the church has events, the church members should be supporting those events as well. So there's some other areas that we should be supporting. I'm going to throw some out there. Funerals should be an area that we should be helping other church members as they go through the loss of a loved one. Isn't it encouraging when you go to the cemetery or the funeral home and you just suffered a great loss, but you see a friendly face from church? That's great, because they're not only showing support, but they want to participate in your life, and they want to be a help to you. So we can be a help and encouragement in those areas, as funerals, graduations, and so forth, showing each other that we care for one another. When it comes to the church evangelizing, we as a church need to be involved in getting the gospel out. God didn't call us here just to sit on these pews. God gave us a specific calling, and that is to do what? To go out into the world. That's what he called us to do. By the way, since he called us to do that, do you not believe that he's equipped us to do the very thing that he's called us to do? He sure has. He's equipped us. And so we are to go out and to evangelize into this community. And we had a great day yesterday. So we need to get involved in getting the gospel out. We need to get off of our, I'm going to say this, we need to get off our blessed assurance and show the world that they need Jesus Christ. Also, this should be taking place even when the church isn't holding a soul-winning event. I mean, evangelizing should go further than what the church is doing, and that's bringing it into your own personal life. That's what we need to do. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's something that I struggle with. That's something that I'm not good at. But I am able to watch people around me who are good at those things and have great strength in those areas, and I'm able to take those things, and hopefully I can apply it to my life to where I'm able to be able to do things even further in my own personal life to evangelize to a world that needs it. The word exercise was given, and it's not for bodily exercise. It was given in a few ways. The one that comes to my mind is to exercise your faith. Faith without works is dead, exactly. Faith without works is dead. We are to be bearing fruit. That's what evangelizing is all about, is bearing fruit. An Open Door Baptist Church should not be a fruitless church. Amen? Last week, we studied out the word direction, which came from the word vision. We ought to have a vision for the future of this church, seeking God's direction directly from Him. I said a few weeks ago, I don't have time for Debbie Downers and people who want to nitpick and complain. Why? Because we are moving forward, doing the will of God, seeking His direction, following His vision, and anything else that comes that's not pertaining to that is hindering the work of God. So that's why I said I don't have time for those things. I will say this, you can either join us or you can move out of the way because the train is moving. Amen to that. You want a complaint box, then build it. I'll do this for you. I'll check it as I put it in the trash. Amen? That might sound insensitive, but we have a job to do, people. We have a job to do. What is that job? That job is to win people to the Lord. We need to be busy evangelizing to the community that God has called us to, because you and I know several people in our lives who have yet to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we need to be evangelizing to them. We have a job to do, winning people to the Lord. We also have a job not only to win them to the Lord, but we also have a job to disciple them once they become saved. What a great time it is for us to be a participant in the life of a new believer and to be able to guide them through Scripture, be able to show them the truth of God's Word for the very first time. And they're able to see things a little bit more clear, and they're more excited than they were a few days ago, even a few weeks ago. You know what I love about new believers? Please don't take this the wrong way, but what I love about new believers is this: they're excited. They're excited. Can I ask you a question? Why have we, who have been saved 15, 20, 30 years, not as excited as a new believer? Is it because we've lost our joy along the way? Is it maybe because we become a person who is complaining all the time or doing some other things? You know, we ought to be just as much of excited as new believers as they are. Why? Because it's the same God that saved their soul from hell to heaven as he did ours. So we have a job to do to disciple souls, lives to be invested into. And I'm going to say this, ain't nobody got time for that. To be sitting around complaining all the time. Tonight, as this particular study comes to a close, we're going to study the letter Y. This letter turns into the word, here it is, yearn. We've seen it here in chapter number 43. Let's begin to read again in verse number 30. It says, "And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there." Yearning is having an intense feeling of longing for something. Desiring either to have or a longing to even be with someone. The story that we just read is, I'm going to be honest with you, is one of my favorite stories that I've ever read in the Bible. I love this story. I never get tired of it every time I open the Word of God to this. And every time that I read this, God always reveals something new to me. Those of us who have siblings can probably identify with Joseph in a particular way, but maybe we can even identify with one of his brothers, which is why I kind of love this story. So let's do a little refresher here about the story of Joseph. Joseph was in this position because, I want you to listen carefully to this statement, because his brothers had a hatred for him. They actually thought about death for him, but they caved and sold him into slavery. Could you imagine if you grew up with many siblings and they just had a deep hatred for you? And so the days were coming closer and closer ahead of them, and they just couldn't stand being around him. They couldn't stand the thought of him or even the sight of him. And so they begin to plot with one another and say, "Hey, let's do this to him. No, this isn't going to work. How about we just sell him into slavery?" Could you imagine being in a household where your siblings thought that about you? Some of us are fortunate that our siblings don't think that about us, but this is what happened in the life of Joseph. Joseph had some brothers that didn't have a love for him. They actually hated him. And so they wanted to sell him into slavery. It never ceases to amaze me what bitterness can do to people. Folks that used to love one another, for some reason, begin to develop a hatred. For some reason, rage begins to fill their mind. And because the rage begins to fill their mind, they begin to seek and act out in vicious ways towards other people. Have we gone that far away from God to seek pain in the life of another person? Have we gotten that far away from God to even have such vile thoughts towards people? Well, I never wanted to kill my brothers, but have you ever had a hatred towards them? I mean, have you ever imagined at some point in time in your life, man, I just wish as they were walking down the street, a tree branch would fall on them and hit them in the head and knock some sense into them. You know, that's a vile thought. That's an act of hatred. That's not an act of love. But we do those things on many different occasions. I'm guilty of that very thing. But as we continue to go on in this, God was going to get glory from this situation, because he was going to use Joseph to save his family. Save them from what? Save them from starvation that would come into their lives. He was going to save them from their homes being destroyed, and he gave them a new home, and he gave them plenteous to dwell on. The time had finally come for Joseph to see all his brothers' faces again. Some years have passed. Some unfortunate circumstances had happened in the life of Joseph. Some accusations came against him that wasn't true. Lived in prison for a while. Did his time. And through that, he began to get into a position of great authority. He was blessed. And as this authority was placed upon his life, God gave Joseph some tremendous wisdom, and Joseph was able to do some things financially for his country that is unheard of, to be honest with you. And there was going to come a starvation at this point in time, and Joseph was able to do something for them. And now the time has come for them to see his brother, their brothers, face to face. Even though they had done him wrong, here's what I see in the life of Joseph. No matter what they did to him, and I know Joseph, we don't know the whole entire story of Joseph, how he actually felt, but I don't see in Scripture where Joseph hated his brothers. Even though they wanted to kill him, even though that they sold him into slavery, even though they separated him from his father whom he loved, even though they separated him from his younger brother that he loved tremendously, Joseph still had a love for his brothers. And I say, what a great man that is. So he now comes face to face with them. He had a great desire to be with them once again. But there was one who meant more to him, who didn't partake in the brothers' evil plot against him, and that was Benjamin. Look at verse number 29 and verse number 30 once again. It says, and he lifted up his eyes, and what did he see? It says, and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son. It says, is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. Now just imagine, they have no idea who Joseph is. Because Joseph, has, they would assume that, they might have thought Joseph could have been dead at this point in time, but Joseph didn't look anything like them at this point in time. And some years have gone past, and now as he's able to see his younger brother who he hadn't seen in years, he says, is this your younger brother? And he doesn't stop there, but it goes on in verse number 30. It says, and Joseph made haste, for what's it say here? For his bowels did yearn upon his brother. He had a longing to see his face once again. He had a longing to be in his presence. He had a longing for all that time that they spent away to come back once together and to be in harmony and to be in fellowship and maybe possibly do the shenanigans that brothers do with one another. Maybe he had a longing to go out and do some hunting in the field. Maybe he had a longing to go out and grab a fishing rod once again and go and take Benjamin with him and teach him some more things. Maybe he had a longing just to have a conversation with him. He longed. He yearned to be around him. His bowels did yearn. And then he goes on and says this in verse number 30. And he sought where to weep. He was so overcome with the emotion that he saw when he saw his brothers, after the yearning was taking place in his bowels, that yearning turned into some emotions. And Joseph, I can just imagine as he's looking around, he goes and he finds a room. And what's he doing in the room? He goes in there and he begins to weep. That's how much his bowels yearned. He began to cry because now, after so many years, after so many years of separation, after so many years of not knowing what happened to him, after so many years of not knowing what happened to his brother or his mother, he began to weep. He had a yearning for them. He had a yearning to be around them. He desired for them all to have a relationship with him once again. So many years have passed, time that can never be restored. But he had a vision for his family, a certain direction that he was seeking. And I noticed one thing about Joseph in this particular story. Joseph didn't go in and grab a shovel in the garage and begin to dig up the past and begin to bring accusations against his brothers. Joseph was a man who was willing to forgive and not bring those things up. He wasn't going to go around and say, hey, why did you do this to me? Why did you sell me into slavery? Why did you want to put me in this pit? Why did you do these things? He didn't hold that bitterness in, but I see a man who is willing to forgive his brothers. Yeah, he played with him for a little bit. Yeah, he gave him a little bit of a hard time, but he did not go in and bring up the past and bring accusations against them. Why? Because he was seeking for a relationship to be restored. He yearned to be around them. Let this be a lesson to you and I. Be willing to forgive no matter what an individual has done to you. Be willing to forgive. Joseph probably had many dreams of being with them once again. These last few weeks of my life, I've been having some strange dreams. And I told you some dreams that I've had. They say that when you wake up and you're able to remember the dreams that you have, you're actually in a deep sleep. You're getting the best sleep of your life. Because if you wake up and you don't remember your dreams, you're not sleeping very well. So apparently I've been sleeping very well these last couple weeks. But I'm going to be honest with you, the dreams that I've been having the last couple weeks have been some dreams of my father. Even though he's only been gone for 9 weeks of our life, I still have a yearning to be around him. I still yearn to have some advice from him. I still yearn to have some of his wisdom. But I can just imagine the dreams that Joseph would have in his life, waking up after the dream has come to an end, the realization sets in, I'm still here. I'm still not reunited with my brothers. I still don't know if my father's alive. I don't know what my younger brother's doing. I don't know any of those things. But he had a desire to be around them. Sadness could have filled his days. Depression could have set in. And he had every right to be sad. He had every right to be depressed. But what I see in the life of Joseph is a great example for us all to learn. But here's what he did. Instead of being depressed, instead of focusing on his sadness, here's what he did. He leaned upon the Lord for strength and encouragement. You know, the Lord brings us to places in our life for a particular reason. One, he's wanting to grow us through that situation. We see a lot of growth in the life of Joseph during his time. The second reason why we go through these things is because God wants us not to lean upon ourselves, but God wants us to lean upon him. That's why he says, take my yoke, for it is easy. God wants us to lean upon him. For what? For strength? Yes, because we need strength. When we're sad and when we might feel depressed, we lack strength. And so we need strength from the Lord. Not only do we need strength from the Lord, but we need encouragement from him as well. I know a lot of you folks go about your week and you have many things happen to you. I've heard of your testimonies throughout these years. You begin to give an example, but normally in all of your examples you give, and your testimonies you give, here's how you normally ended up. But God was good. But God gave me strength. But God gave me encouragement. I can't even imagine the strength and the encouragement that the Lord bestowed upon Joseph during this time. His bowels ached for them. He yearned to be in their presence. Before I get to my final thought tonight, please understand where I'm coming from with this. My bowels yearn for the people of this church to be in attendance when these doors are open. The church hasn't closed the doors, but here is what has happened. God's people have closed the doors on him. Why is that? Is it because maybe our bowels don't yearn to be in the house of God? We got Brother Payne who's here tonight, and he's a pastor in Connecticut. I believe he can probably agree with me for the same thing. Your bowels yearn for people to be in the house of God. Because God's laid upon your heart to lead the people that he's called you to lead. And I know for a fact that you do get sad, and I know for a fact that you might be depressed about those things, but I do know this, you lean upon God for encouragement. I have learned not to focus on the ones who aren't here, but to focus on the ones who are here and to be grateful for that. My bowels yearn for those things. But the doors, for some reason, people decide to close the doors on him. Maybe it's because our bowels don't yearn to worship together. Maybe it's because our bowels don't yearn to fellowship with one another. I love the fact that you and I are able to worship with one another. I love the fact that we're able to go over Scripture together. There is hardly a day that doesn't go by where my phone doesn't go off from a member of this church that'll send me a Scripture reference. And they'll write it out. And that's so encouraging to me. That's worshiping the Lord together. I love the fact that there are folks who yearn to have fellowship with one another. It's amazing that when the services are over, it doesn't matter if it's on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, people yearn for fellowship. Their bowels yearn to be around each other. And so even when the time has come to a close, there's still people here just visiting and fellowshipping with one another. What a great thing to have with one another. I want to see this church grow spiritually, and I want to see this church also grow in numbers as well. It would be great, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm yearning at this point in time to have another building project here. I'm being honest with you, folks. I would love to have another building project here. Well, what if that doesn't take place? Well, if we continue to grow, maybe we can have two morning services. Wouldn't that be fun? You can decide which one you can attend. The traditional or the contemporary? I'm just kidding, folks. Just seeing if you're awake. Or we can even add on, or even we can even build into the lot that is next to us. You might say, just be content where you're at. The fact is, I can't. Because I have a vision from God, a direction that he wants to take us. In order to get there, we need to have a people yearning to go out and evangelize this community. In order to get there, we have to have people that are yearning to be around each other. I'm going to be honest with you. One service a week doesn't cut it. And I'm not faulting anybody who comes in for one service. I'm thankful that they do those things. And I love them just as much as the ones who come three or four times a week. But we need to have more time with God. Finally, this evening, there needs to be another yearning. And that is found in the book of Psalms, chapter number 84. Let's go ahead and turn there. The book of Psalms, chapter number 84. We're going to read verses 1 through 12 here. Psalms 84 says, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." I see in here, I'm reading in between the lines, I see a man who is yearning to be with the Lord. Verse number 3, "Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Verse number 2 is the key verse in this chapter. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. In order for what I just talked about to happen, we need to have a yearning to be around the presence of the Lord. When we desire to be around the Lord, a yearning to where your flesh cries out for him, there will be a change that will take place that is needed in all of our lives. That change will be the house of God will become more important to us. Today we are living in some very treacherous times. And as those times begin to get worse, I've noticed something that's taking place that actually frightens me. A walking away from God instead of a drawing closer to him. God yearns. He desires to have a relationship with us. But unfortunately, we are not on the same page that God is on. And here is why this takes place. We are not on the same page that God is on for this reason. We don't yearn for him the way he does for us. How do I know this? Because it shows in our lives. It shows in our attitudes. It shows in our behavior towards one another. And it shows in our attendance. I preach this out of love. I preach this out of great concern. I preach this because I care about the wrong direction that men are taking their families down. But here, we are no different than the disciples that were described in the book of Matthew, chapter number 26, verse number 40. Go ahead and turn there. Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 40 says this, and we're going to read down to verse number 41. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Peter, couldn't you and the other fellows just give me 1 hour of your time? I have given you 33 years of my life, Peter. I've dedicated my time to you. I've dedicated to grow you, to have a relationship with the Heavenly Father. I've dedicated my time to show you how to deal with people. I've dedicated my time to show you and educate you on how to teach the Word of God. And here I've asked you to do one simple request. I've asked you to pray for an hour. But Peter, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Here is why we don't yearn for God in the church. It's for this reason, summed up here. Because our flesh is weak. How are we to keep going for God? By strengthening ourselves in him. By strengthening ourselves in him. Have a yearning for him. So as we covered this, speedy, I hope you look at this word and never look at it the same again. Support the things of the church. Participate. In order to support, you need to get involved. Participate in those things. Evangelize. Help the church. It's not just one individual. Help the church. And give the gospel. Can you not just give 1 hour? Peter, could you just not watch and pray for 1 hour? Is 1 hour too much to ask? to give to an almighty God that gave us his son, who died upon the cross for your sin and my sins? Is he asking too much from us? Or are we just too selfish to give him that time? Have we lost that yearning? Have we lost the ability to exercise our faith, to work out our salvation, to be able to go out and to bear fruit? Have we lost our vision, the direction that we're going? And have we lost a yearning, not just to be around each other, but a yearning to develop a relationship with an almighty God? America is heading in the wrong direction for this reason. They don't yearn for the Word of God. Think about this. I gave you a stat a couple weeks ago of two churches that I know that preach the gospel in this town, that probably out of a town of 70,000 people, there's probably only a total of maybe 400 to 500 people out of those churches that I can probably think of that I know that are saved and going to heaven. Does that not tell you how important our job is to be yearning for the things of God? What does God yearn for? For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should what? Should not perish. Jesus yearns for souls to come to him. And we need to get on the same page as he. Do I fault anybody who doesn't? No, I don't. Because I'm just as guilty. I'm just as guilty. I pass up opportunities. I make excuses. I'm just as guilty. But thank God I can get right back on that train and keep on going. Amen? Do you have a yearn for Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this night that you've given us. I thank you for your people that are here tonight. Lord, I pray. I know that I've use this word a lot tonight, but Lord, it's done purposely so that it gets inside our heart, so that when we see things that you want us to see, we have a different desire than what we used to, because we're yearning to please you. We're yearning to serve you. So Lord, as we come to a close with this word tonight, I thank you for this great opportunity to be able to preach on this these last several weeks. Lord, I pray as we leave here this evening that you would guide and protect us throughout the week. Watch over us. Be with us as we meet once again this Wednesday. Help us to be an encouragement and an influence to these young people that you've allowed us to be a part of their lives. Lord, I want to pray tonight for Doug's stepdad, Barry. Lord, we know it's heavy upon his heart. It's heavy upon his mom's heart with the diagnosis that he's had these last few weeks. But God, I pray, we know you have a reason for this. You're not caught off guard. You're not surprised by this. But God, I pray that you would be able to use Doug during this time to be able to be a voice to a stepfather to where he can call upon you as his Lord and Savior. Lord, I believe that you'll do just that. Lord, give them the grace through this time, give them wisdom. Be with his mom. Lord, I know it's heavy upon her heart. Be with Linda. Lord, that you just watch over her. Such a sweet lady. But Lord, I pray, and I know she's yearning for her husband to be healed. But Lord, I know she would love to see him saved. So God, I pray that you just grant him that this week. Give Doug the opportunity. Give his mom the opportunity. And Lord, help us to pray for this throughout this week. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.